Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Yes, this is not a coup. Welcome, Professor and your team. And I see Mr. Mula as part of the team is no more part of the rugby because it's been created by this committee of not transforming rugby, now it's said let it go transform the lotto. I think, is there any apology to the committee? Yeah. Okay, there are two apologies and the chairperson apparently has been delayed. And without further ado, I think everybody has got the agenda. And we are honored to have the professor, the CEO, the CFO, and well, I don't know what the title is, maybe they're looking for a title for you, but it might be the doctor. Let's give over to the professor. And then, I think all of us, we know each other about here. There's no need for introduction. But is there? No. Thank you. Over to you, Prof.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think I must introduce the things that we have. All my... You can't see them. National lotteries and other lotteries. that's our way. But also distribute funds in the form of distributing agencies. The board is just the trustee of the funds, but the ones who distribute them is the distributing agencies. They are appointed from.
This again taking a lot of time of professor to as him as you know. Because you know the structures, how it wired. I think the main issue from the prof that you want there. I'm sorry to say from the prof, but I think we want to be offended. Sometimes I use this interchangeable ethics. Sometimes you can offend people unnecessarily. I thought the real issue that prof wanted a discussion on was the issue of sports facility issues and funding issues. And because you will know prof that the reason why his lottery was that time, among other reasons, was to assist us in terms of funding as well. That was one of the main reasons why his lottery was that time for that. There will be many other reasons, but the main reason was really that you have a lot of that should assist us in the totality of development of sport. I think the point that has been always been raised is then how do we allocate resources to what happened to be the main reason at the time. That of course, you know now, the constitution is for everyone, but that was really the main issue that was just happened when the initiative went and started some time ago. And then I guess, yes, you wouldn't want to live there. The professor, I think, to give you a structure because you do have your structure. I think that will be probably much of his valuable time to allow him to do so. I think we should really discuss the essence of why the meeting was going to be. I accept from the point of view that sometimes the agenda didn't capture exactly what you wanted to do, but it is around the approach around the funding of the facilities and then the whole issue of sport facilities development plan. The point that one that the first because we have visited many provinces, nine of these provinces, we visited them. We have observed some of the problems. Also, you know, for the internal allocation of national fiscal, sport really is always allocated sufficient. I think it's sufficient. Precisely because there's not a regulatory system to ensure the growth of sport. That's really what the corporate professor wanted to have a discussion on. And then to see what else we can do, all of us together, to ensure the allocation to sport. And of course, I'm not necessarily that we must make the overall representation. But I think once we have done that, we must come back to deal with the asset of what we're trying to do with this meeting. On the call, I think that's what we wanted to achieve. And then I didn't want you really, I think, to consume much of the time, because I think the structure has not changed for the department in terms of how the structure is distributing agents and shape. You know, really around the allocation of sport. What is it that we can do together to ensure the allocation to sport by and large really is efficient enough for us to develop sport because of the national sport and recreation plan that has been accepted. But also for that it has been passive. So to acknowledge really the role that I think you have seen us play for this young orchestra, yes. The young boys who are, they went to school and I think they did see that you have done us. We must really appreciate that and thank you for having the assistant. For the rest of you.
Thank you. Like I said, this is the agenda that that was laid to us only wanted us to embark on the budget. So sport in terms of the act gets 22% of the budget. And if I'm not mistaken, 22% of this financial year was about 300 to 400 million deficit. So that's the money that the Sport and the Recreation Committee the committee is busy. Now the the money must be distributed according to the social cohesion and nation building through sports. And then in this case, the Sports and Recreation Committee does fund schools, funds federations, and funds national organizations like SASCO. If my memory serves me well, the schools that applied were given at a maximum of either 50,000 or 100,000. Now the committee again, they distribute this money, to promote a healthy lifestyle. They also look at gender integration. They also look at people who are vulnerable. Now, the strategic plan, according to how they put the DA, this distributed funding, is such that it consists of talent identification. In other words, the money is given to organizations that are embarking on talent identification. Basic facilities, I think the chairperson of sports DA will indicate where we have built the facilities. But if I may, I must remind the committee that we came here last year and showed you the facilities of 131 million that we built around the country. There are 27 in number, the official test that looks like mini stadium or a mini stadium. Then the other thing that Mr. Nimota will speak about is the sport equipment that they bought. Because as I said, Chair, you were right to say you know the organization, but we don't sit in the meetings. We only give them money. How they distribute the money, we only check the progress report, how they distributed the money. But most of the facilities are known by these men and women who sit in the committee. They also support local leagues, those that are competing. They also support provincial and national competitions. For example, there is the recent CHAN, which ended some few weeks ago. They allocated 70 million in order for the CHAN to run. It has become a norm in South Africa that most organizations, when they go to a class, they don't tell us. But when they realize that something has been approved, they run towards the Rotary to say, now we have us. This is of national importance. And ask for the sports EA that they are, sometimes they find themselves pushed at the corner to make sure that we must not be become a laughing stock in the country. So they do contribute towards such. But I think Mr. Nimola will also indicate some other projects. They also look at capacity building. For example, the clubs, federations, and the league. They also look at the infrastructure. Right now, I think we will also tell this committee. They are under the guidance of the chairperson, they are already putting money aside before this financial year ends to the tune of 100 million to distribute to each province. In other words, they want to build either two. In a province, they will provide a project so that it becomes a legacy project that they can, you know, they can look at it and say, this is the project that we implemented in 2014, the early month of 2014. So he's going to tell you about this project. It includes capacity building, includes courses for clubs, as I said, life skills, generic training courses. That's what they do. The international accreditation. For example, something that happened in Job last year, the anti-drug campaign in sports. They also received funding from the sports people. In other words, they funded the conference to make sure that at least charity must start at home. We must educate our athletes and our sportsmen and women in South Africa to use drugs. So it was a successful conference. Then the other thing is that they also look at the high development, which is sport-specific research equipment for high performance. In the University of Victoria, they've provided a high performance sports center there, which I think during 2010, it was selected by a team from outside to come and practice there. So it's a very nice sport. It costs a lot of million, I think, plus minus 30 million. They provided such facilities. They also look at medical support to the athletes, nutrition, international participation. Now, let me come, the CEO will assist me. Total allocated is 463 million for this financial year. Total grant awarded to date, which I said Mr. Nola will try to tell you in which provinces, is 319,129,731. Those that are withdrawn is 80 million. Balance remaining is 162 million, which they need to distribute before the financial year ends, which is March. Well, I have indicated before this committee, Jefferson, that sports is one of the agencies that in a session of 1 week, they can adjudicate more than hundreds applications. So I don't have any doubt that it is this end of this March. Like the chairperson has indicated that at least they want to allocate plus minus 8 or 9 provinces money to build a facility that they can show as a legacy of the committee. So, in other words, they are about to finish all the applications. Mr. Nolan and our CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson of the committee, Chairperson of the board, ADG, Chairperson of the Sports Education Agency, and members of the portfolio committee. The chairperson has already taken through a lot of information that has to do with budget. The slide that you've seen there is the total budget allocated. And the next slide actually talks to how this distribution has happened what was allocated per quarter, and we also have information on what was allocated per month. Let me not waste your time and ask the senior executives for grant funding to take you through the rest of the budget from the slide to how then that translates into what that gets allocated to different folks and to different areas that the chairperson has already indicated in the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, committee members. I think we can move to the next slide. The next slide is basically giving a breakdown of that allocation as what we call the kind of the subsector. So given the background given by Chairperson in terms of the scope and the various elements that are being funded, that is kind of the main categories of the sub beneficiary groups, if I can call it that way, that would benefit from our funding. And you can see, even in terms of percentages, and I must say, Chair, at the end of the day, given that scope that was outlined, it is a fine balancing act to try and balance, for example, the interest of, for example, the high level or your elite sport versus your grassroots development or your club level and schools level. At the same time, it also calls for a lot of balancing act in terms of, for example, national federations versus your provincial federations, your local district committees or sports federation, as well as your grassroots development. I think the percentages is given there, and just on the high end, you would see the schools for the 9 months up to 31st December, and that's what the figures reflect. It is the year-to-date figures up to the third quarter, and schools have been benefiting kind of the biggest portion, I think, amongst those is 28.5%. And again, even if you look at that figure and you compare it with the number of applications that's coming in for schools, it is also quite a very small percentage in terms of what can be covered for those that qualify, and hence then the predicament of having to put some kind of restriction in terms of the maximum amount that can be allocated. If I can move to the next one, though, that is just kind of a different reflection in terms of a pie chart of the same information. So if we can move to the and I think the tertiary institutions is obviously another part that actually quite depends a lot. The next slide is just giving a split because as members remember previously we discussed a lot about finding the balance of allocations across provinces. In fact, in terms of the legislation, we are required to allocate a minimum of 5% overall of the energy funds to all the provinces. And I think we previously discussed some of the challenges around those, like in Northern Cape and so forth. So together with the distributing agencies, we have started to come up with different strategies to be able to close that gap in terms of the variances between your higher-end provinces like your Western Cape and your Gauteng versus your Northern Cape, Northwest, and also Free State. So that is also what we are tracking on a quarterly basis so that we can then interact with the distributing agencies around that particular locations. We have also differentiated between the provinces and the national because some of the projects the committee members would realize is not implemented only in one province, but if the national federation applied, they would apply to implement that across different provinces. So we're trying to just to balance because I think historically the percentages for provincial allocations were a little bit skewed because we didn't pull out those projects that actually got a national footprint. And although organization might be based in the Western Cape, Gauteng or whatever, implementation is actually happening in various provinces. So we're trying to just refine the way we capture the statistics. But I think the change, you can see that we are slowly trying to close the gap, but you can see that same provinces with the small slices, we are still struggling with Northern Cape, you know, your Northwest and Mpumalanga and so forth. But as I said, we across the different distributing agencies, there is a continuous engagement around ways of those that can. Then, Chair, what we have just done here is just try and disturb and separate out in terms of your locations. It was done with the different provinces, what could then be classified as infrastructure spend. And you can see basically the highest component is Free State with 22%, followed by Limpopo with 19.6%, and then your Eastern Cape with 11.7%. I think this is a reflection, Chair, of part of what your chairperson was trying to allude to. If you look at the context of the overall budget of the NLTF, and you look at 22%, and also remember that that cut on an annual basis are being determined by sales, actually, because the NLTF is funded by 54%. So it's a set percentage, so as your sales fluctuate, you would also fluctuate the amount, not overall, but also in terms of cost. So I think, Chair, what most probably this slide reflects in the previous discussion is obviously, I think, the dilemma that a funder like NLTF is sitting with. If you look at the broad scope of needs within the sports sector, then it becomes a challenge to what extent then you will be able to have a meaningful contribution in an area, for example, like infrastructure. And the problem is that some of the proposals, as the chairman of the security agency will, for example, say, sometimes we'll get infrastructure proposal going to 100 million rand, for example, from a particular municipality. Now, if you have to allocate 100 million rand from 460 whatever million, you can see already your dilemma. Then you have your national federations, got your club that wants just the set of jerseys for them to participate in the league. So I think that is one of the dilemmas. And earlier this morning, you know, myself, the chairperson, and the CEO, we're actually discussing the saying of saying, moving forward, part of what we need to discuss with the security agencies is to say, how do we become more strategic, maybe? Because whatever you do, you will have somebody not happy. So if you want to make bigger impact and align some of the funding to national priorities, we might have to become a little bit more targeted in our approach. And it might be for a specific year, you just focus on one or two components of the funding areas instead of trying to do everything every year. But I think, Chair, that is part of what needs to happen in your ongoing debate and engagement, and also some of the ideas from the committee that can be introduced to that such discussion. This is just kind of a graphic representation of that. So you can see Free State in the whole of currently and Western Cape as a percentage of what they've been allocated, they have kind of the highest component in terms of infrastructure debt. Chair, the next slide is just trying to give some of the indication of what is sitting behind the figures that you are seeing. So in terms of schools, that allocation that you're seeing for schools there, that represents 28.5% of the overall 319 million that has been spent up to December 31st. 91 million of that was based on individual schools' applications, and you will see a lot of data to do with equipment, in some cases basic facilities, upgrading of facilities, so forth. But also 17 million has been allocated towards national championship, and they obviously align with some of the national imperatives where there was conscious decision strategically to try and revive school sports, and I think the institution and reviving of the national championship is part of their strategy. That is just a list of some of the infrastructure related investments, multi-purpose courts, a lot of that is based at schools, then we have netball courts, and there's also soccer fields prepared, constructed, and in some cases obviously just a little bit improved. And as I indicated, sport equipment forms a big part of the allocation to date. The national institutions, the chairperson, there's quite a very interesting project that I think if it's implemented properly, we've just now recently finalized that 62 million allocation to the South African College Principal Organization. Now, Chair, from what I've seen over the years, I think this is most probably an example of a very integrated approach to a project proposal. And in this one, without going into detail, you would, for example, see, unlike a lot of applicants, that particular application was not geared towards the benefit of the colleges themselves. It actually, if you look at the beneficiaries from that project, will include schools, it will include clubs at local level, because part of that money, about 26 million of that, is actually geared towards coming up and aligning the training courses in terms of national qualification framework, so that the quality of that intervention can actually be aligned to standards that your national qualification framework is doing. I think that will, if, as I said, properly implemented, I think we'll see a quite a substantial multiplier effect in terms of implementation of that project. And the nice thing of it, as I said, is not only around the colleges themselves, it's about penetrating the benefits into the local communities around their school, around their colleges, as well as the schools, etc. And I think we will keep the committee informed as that project is being implemented, and I think it might be one of our flagships for certain inception of what they're doing. Together, obviously, I think, as Jefferson alluded, I think the party shifters that was done under the legacy project of 2010, I think it's also one of those in that category. Federations, I think, as alluded already through previous, a lot of that of the locations around those areas, I'm not going to repeat because I think the chairperson already indicated us. We just listed some of the things there, like I think for every good institute would have to be sport. Chairperson mentioned 10. Then we have the sports support contribution, Chase South Africa, etc. So that's just a list of the spread in terms of national federation. Obviously, there's a lot of other state that benefit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe let me ask the chairperson of sports just to address the chairperson on the specific projects and how they handle the application.
Thanks a lot, Prof. Thanks, Jefferson, and the members of the portfolio committee for sport. And that's one thing that just could cross everything, just coming that I used to come here wearing a rugby cap and used to get a green for the transmission. Today I'm wearing another cap and the tutor says I'm going to get another green, you know, for labor facility. So I'm not lucky at all.
The form must be very high.
It's becoming more and more troublesome. Jefferson, I'm happy that the three former speakers have handled all the kinds of administrative issues and the sensitive and so on, because they have this in their fingertips. I think mine, without boring you and taking much of the time of the committee, has to get into grips with the bread and butter issues that this government is faced with on a daily basis. And I must also quickly say, the SRDA has got a history of having had some good people, that is, sports people serving this committee. I remember the first chairperson of this sports BA was Mr. Joe Kaka, who was at one time the sports commission leader. And Gideon Sam took over from him. Gideon Sam has got impeccable, you know, project regarding sport, and then Hansela Kashi. And most of the time, it's all people that have got global sport. And it's also people that come from the non-racial ethos. And therefore, they understand that the weaknesses and the challenges facing sport, and they're blend of them. I mean, Gora will always talk about these things, you know, what needs to be done and so on. And things have definitely, one considers what the work that has been done by this committee, one is going to go back to pre-democracy. Yeah. That is when the sport in this country was isolated from international participation. And I'm speaking to collective people, because at that time, when we were playing a non-racial sport, there were no sponsorship whatsoever. We ran sport from our pockets and so on. The only people that got money from the sports were privileged ones. That left us now, when democracy came in, that left us with a huge challenge, in that the grassroots was neglected. There were no facilities to play the sports, and there was no equipment, no kit to play the sport. And mostly in schools where talent acquisition is done. So when the lot was set up, it was facing that situation. And it's just like saying, hey, it's what we're balancing that here. Looking after the grassroots, and also looking at high performance, because the country is also going to perform internationally. And then also look at the major federations. Some of these major federations, the money they get makes no impression to disadvantaged communities. I'll come later to that. And this is on that basis, that we always in the office talk to the leadership to say, how about us changing the gear so it addresses these issues, especially the issue of facilities at the level of sports equipment and all of that. Because after 1994, when South Africa was admitted into international sports participation, there's been quite an upsurge in sport, activities. Lots of schools are playing sport now, like never before. Clubs are also playing sports. Lots of people from disadvantaged communities are playing sports with the hope of representing this country at a later stage. But unfortunately, and that's the truth of the matter, is that the federations that are affiliated to these international bodies, up to now, after 1994, if you compare 1994, when we were accepted into the international arena, at that time the National Sports Council had three pillars that they agreed that South Africa should be returned to international sport. That was the number of sports, participation, and transformation. And up to now, 2014, we're still grappling with those three issues. And these are the three issues that the SRTA is trying to address in a very, very limited budget. Let me take the issue of the schools. I mean, it's unheard of that at this time and age in 2014 that there are schools that don't even have a rugby ball thing or even a soccer ball that to kick around. And as I said earlier, that is that, you know, most schools are playing sport now. So it is difficult for us as a community not to address those applications that come from the schools. Just to get a kid, just to get a ball to kick around, just to get the girls to play netball and all those kinds of things. And we argue that by providing these things to the schools, the sports equipment and kids, but also helping the country to address some of our social problems. Because once the school children play sports, then they don't have a chance to go around them and standing corners, smoking, drinking, all these kinds of things. So it is important for us that when we get these applications from the school staff, we don't disregard them. But the challenge that we have, and it's part of the mandatory achievement, that's a big challenge. Because most of the schools, especially those from the rural area, are the ones that suffer, and they will have to go to decline there. And then, once we're declining the schools from the disadvantaged communities, all the schools from the urban areas, and in particular white schools, who always appoint consultants to fill in the application and so on, they get the money. And the question that people get out there is that we in the Lotto were giving money to private schools at the expense of disadvantaged schools. So that's the issue that we had thought, we said at our last meeting that we need to have high-level discussions with senior management of the Lotto to see how we can address that imbalance of declining most black schools from the disadvantaged communities and awarding money to disadvantaged schools. In this balancing act, Chairperson, there's the issue of high performance, which we can prevention. With the acceptance of South Africa into international sporting arena, we're able now to take part in Olympics, something we never did before. We're able now to take part in Commonwealth Games. And there are two types of Commonwealth Games. There's the Commonwealth Games for senior, and then there's the youth Commonwealth Games. Then there are also the African Games. And all these people, all the teams that live in South Africa have got to be prepared. And the high performance that we have by SASCO. Hence, and most people at times criticize us and ask us why we give so much money to SASCO. Forgetting that SASCO is one structure that prepares the high performance teams. As a country, we've got to pay for, because one would say, well, if I think if we took over here, even sports teams are not doing very well and so on. So we've got to look after the high performance. So there's the area that in this balancing act is the case of the major federations of the country who apply for big amounts of money under the pretext of developing the disability athletes and also to identify the land and also to transform sport, which is nothing bigger. At our last meeting in February, when we finished advocating, we sat down and said, can we calculate how much money we've given out to the Mega Federation as compared to the money that we've given out to the disadvantaged and all of us said, when it was clear that we've given much money to major federations, we then said, this is not a correct situation, we need to rectify. So what I'm saying is that that's another area we're going to look at and see where we should use our money equitably and also to make an impact in our people. And this is on that basis, Chairperson, that we had discussions with the CEO and the Chairperson. And I must say, at the day, Chairperson, I think the lot of the distribution agencies owe their success of administering these budgets to the outstanding leadership that we get from the chairman of the board, Professor Nebutanga, and the CEO, Ms. Mupan, and of course, Jeff, who's the cloud funding manager. Also with an eye like Napoleon, that is what I'm doing, we always check that we do our things correctly and according to the regulations and so on. Sometimes you say that the tools are there to make success, to make the game successful. So moving forward, Chairperson, we have decided that now we need to leave the literacy. We're sick and tired of our people having to move from the areas to go down to Facebook. We're saying the amount of money that is going to be left up, that is financial, this one is financial, let's set aside money and go around consulting with the relevant stakeholders in these various areas. Because if we're going to put up HRC facilities, we've got to have the support of municipalities. That one is a given. If we don't have the support of the facilities, we're going nowhere. I can make an example about this 27 initial test series. I'll make an example where I saw it with my own eyes. It's a two examples. Here in Nyanga, if I'm not mistaken, there's a test that got never used at all. Never, ever used. That's the trap was put there, and when it was the chain of the municipality to look at it, the municipality ran away. Never used. And it's good that there's no movement to get that facility going. Whereas there are lots of people playing football. Because let's also accept the fact that the most played sport in this country is football. And football is one of the easiest sports to get facilities because you just put a nice level playing grass, just a fence around it, and then a little stand there for people. And then people can play football. It's much, much, much easier. And you get lots of people playing in football. In fact, sports is playing so much in the our community that women are involved in playing cricket, playing football, all those sports that we thought were women's play by men. So our plan, Chairperson, as the Chairperson says there, we consult with this committee all the time. We are going to go through the provinces, we are going to consult them. We are not going to give them money and say, go and put up the facility, because that money will just disappear. We'll identify the stakeholders who are going to attend. For instance, another interesting due to the wisdom of Professor Rukanda, we have put some partnerships with certain structures like the Black Lawyers Association, the kings, the tradition leaders, and all those people. So if you go in a village, you have to talk to the chief of that particular village and say, this is the aim of the Lord, and therefore, this facility we're going to put, they want it to be utilized. You know, every day. The municipalities, let's talk to them. They'll have to bring their stuff up. Because if we're going to put all these facilities, one might think that no losses were okay, money, they're produced from the certain representation. The money is not there. But the money that is there is going to be used properly for the benefit of the people of the disadvantaged community. So those are the plans we have, Chairperson. And my Chairperson said here will keep this committee informed. I thought that should end there.
Thank you. Thank you. maybe before the CEO rounds the discussion, let me give the order to indicate the new legislation is aimed at coordinating the activities that is in line with what you wanted us to do. I must say that the current act, you know, like we are in jail when we are free. So soldiers department also came up with a very nice way of making sure that we should propose that we can coordinate and see that the difference is present. I mean, in terms of comparing it with the arts and the charities, it may look like it's very small, but you know, having 400 million or 300 million, I think if we follow what he suggested, definitely this country would be a new country.
Thank you,
Honourable
Member, and good morning to all of you. It's my first time in this committee, and I'm happy to be here. It's just to get a grilling from another committee, rather than a solo committee in trade and industry. As the chairperson said earlier, the chairperson of this committee, that the intention of the Lottery Act was to actually help with the sports development. It is true. But unfortunately, I think the intention doesn't lend itself in the legislation ultimately. This piece of legislation, with good intentions, on practical levels, it was not giving those results. And one of the causes of that was one, because that is application-based. So for any allocation to be made, we must receive an application. And the act is very clear. So if we don't go according to that, then we are irregular. And that would be found, you know, one thing by the AD, but we can take into court, that has been taken to court several times in the lotteries by the beneficiaries. Because what happens is that people expect that if they make an application and they meet the requirements, then they must get the money. As to whether that application makes the impact on the ground, that was not something that was considered in the legislation. So we have now moved to change that. The act that was signed by the President in December, the amendment, they address that issue. So yes, there will be a portion that will be based on application, but there will be a portion that will be on a proactive basis. That means that it is possible for the Department of Sport to say these are priorities. And in the allocation on a proactive basis, some of those things will then align to the government priorities where we can make the impact. But then it will still leave room for some of the projects that are there but that are not necessarily within the court of the plans that the department or government in general would have, but to allow for some of the important activities and sports that may happen from time to time, like some tournaments that may not necessarily be in the plans of government, but that may still be very useful for the community. So that is one area. And as Prof said, the allocation of the 2% it is a significant allocation. We can make an impact if we can direct it, and so that we can find the impact. So the application-based method was making us to send money anyway, but you cannot collectively say this is the impact that it makes. And what also it did, it exposed the system to people that have now mastered the art of making applications. Hence you find that there are a lot of middle people, agents, consultants that are preparing applications on behalf of organizations that may not even exist. And you find that a lot of the money actually even goes into the salaries of people instead of the development itself. So that's another area that we sought to address in the amendment, and it is there, to allow for a situation where we can actually make allocations that are driven by impact, and that we also facilitate and manage how much of the portion can go to administration, vis-à-vis the projects themselves. So that is also addressed in the legislation. The other thing that was that has always been a problem between the distribution agencies and the lottery board was also the manner in which the calls are structured. What should we be calling for?
you find that there's always a different opinion in a space, and ultimately you find that a call that goes out is a compromise call. It's not a call that necessarily, you know, everyone is on the same mind that this is what we want to do. So because there wasn't any mechanism to manage that area, it left a lot of gaps. So what you find is that in each discretion agency, there may be requirements that, for instance, when you look at them, these are so prohibitive. You actually exclude people before they can even come. So that leaves just a few cream that are able to actually meet that standard. So we started a process of engaging with the distribution agencies on the call so that we can actually find some agreement in terms of what are those and what exactly are the policies of government and what is this government wanting to make an impact in so that the whole can actually speak to that. So that area is an area that is already, we've already achieved some improvement in our engagement without even amending the legislation. So the legislation just remains. So it's an area that I thought it's important for us to make. You recall that a whole lot of organizations, like the chairperson of the sports CA was saying, schools that are disadvantaged, they get to decline because they don't, you know, always meet their targets. You want the old-age financial statements or whatever. They don't have that. So it's like you are denying somebody medication on the basis that they've not requested it, even though you can see a sick. So it is saddening, and because if you deal with it on a daily basis, I think they have to be traumatized because you cannot get something that you see deserve and give to somebody that actually doesn't need that. So it is something that was a challenge, but I'm glad to say that is being addressed by this legislation. So the other thing that I sort of just mentioned is in regards to the regulation. Now that the Act has been signed into law, we have an opportunity to relook now the regulations. In the regulations, we have the percentages that are allocated in the various sectors. So we do have an opportunity again now to now relook those sectors and see where this government wants to make an impact. Because the regulations, I mean, the allocations we can always look at on a much more regular basis. We haven't done that. So this will give us an opportunity to see, okay, over this period, with this allocation looking like this, what impact have we made, where do we still want to make the impact, and then direct the allocations and the percentages accordingly. So that is going to give us that advantage, but also it's going to give us an advantage to narrow down the areas that we want to fund so that we can make the impact, instead of making them as broad. Because if they are too broad, then they allow for anything. But I think they need to be aligned to developmental needs, but as well as the priorities of the government in that particular period. Because we can always change them. If the government priorities change, then we can always change the regulations to meet the government priorities. So those are the things that I just wanted to mention in terms of the impact that will come with the legislation, because it was intended to address those issues. We can address all these things, and then we can have now percentages that are okay, but we still are not going to make the impact if we do not have the adjudication happening on a daily basis. Currently, we adjudicate when the committee sits because it's a part-time function. So what we have said as a department is that it is not proper for us to continue to want people to freelance on a job that is actually a full-time job. It should be a full-time job. So what that means is that it will also increase the frequency of calls because the adjudication will take place more speedily and the turnaround times will improve. But then we will move from more frequent calls to probably no calls at all. You know, so that when you actually make calls is when you just wanting to target an area, but your function of adjudicating is embedded in the organization, it's a freelance type activity. So we see a big advantage in that, and we are going to expedite the process of issuing the regulations, and we will ensure the consultation. And we have already started, the chairperson and myself did also speak to the distribution agency to, you know, constantly communicate with the Department of Sports. We also allow the sports department to come and make the presentations to the committee on a regular basis so that they remind them also of what the priorities are and where they think they can make an impact so that we can direct that. So all of this will change and will be in a position to make, I think, the inquest that this committee will be closed. Thanks.
Thanks,
Zolga.
I indicate, Chair, that already the Department of Sports, the Department of Art and Culture, the Department of Social Development, they came to present their plan so that when the specific agency makes a call, they are in line with what the department made or asked. Yes, it's true, they are not funding the department, but when you are informed by the plan of the department, you can now see where the country is going, and you need to address that. So we are still going to invite them, the DGs, to come and present a forum where the distributing agencies are there and the board is there, so that at least it must not us and them. It must be one country supported by all the initiatives that are there in the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund. I will ask the CEO just to highlight the challenges, I think they've seen them, just to conclude, then we can ask members to comment or ask questions.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the challenges, I think last year when we appeared before the committee, the chairperson of the committee cautioned us about going out there to invite more people to apply, that we should try and balance our eggs in terms of the number of applications that we'd like to receive and how we could handle them. And true to that, Chair, we've just been inundated with a lot of applications, and as you have said, the challenge has created a challenge for us in terms of, you know, the pace at which we had to process the applications, but also in terms of the amount of money that is available, the budget that is available for funding those applications. So we deal with that issue of the demand that exceeds resources. We continue to seek direction from our board in terms of how we can further develop that balancing act, and that we have been talked already of the importance of the lotteries board looking at alternative revenue sources or additional one, because at the moment we just have one revenue source. Mr. Julia has already alluded to the issue of the application-based funding model and how that would have made it difficult for us to react quickly to some of the needs and the wants of our communities out there. We're hoping that the opportunities that have been created by the new legislation will be able to move quicker in terms of that and to really address those communities that are desperate for funding and for, you know, what the chairperson would have alluded to, for funding, especially infrastructure in some of the areas that have been neglected all the time. We've commissioned an impact study just to try and look at what has happened since the NLV was established, and since we've been funding different organizations, we're hoping that when we next appear before this committee, there will be information on the funding that has been provided, particularly to sports, and how we have managed to make a difference in that area. There is an expectation of recurrent and permanent funding potentially really creating a challenge for new applicants who could be resourced or be allocated funding. We're dealing with those issues. I think Mr. Mula spoke about the big federation. That challenge is really prevalent around those big federations. They're the ones from time to time that have that expectation that they will be funded, to a point where the smaller ones or ordinary projects are suffering. There's a high rate of decline, and internally we're looking at maybe the issue of education. That's something that is also stipulated in the new legislation, that the NLV is expected to go out there and educate communities
on how to apply for funding or how communities can access funding. We're hoping that when we present here next time, we'll also be talking about the difference we're making. It shouldn't be a question of going out there to hold help desk only, but that we take people step by step through the process of applying and accessing funding. We've had a problem with fraudulent applications. It's in the nature of any funder to experience this problem. We're trying to manage that, and once more, something that we're trying to address through communication. And education will also be important so that people can know the consequences of doing that, of submitting fraudulent applications. And for us, actually, to go deeper into this problem, to find out why people who submit fraudulent applications. We deal with that, and we know even the banks, for instance, are begging to address issues like those, but we go out to the communities and start to educate them about the repercussions of activities like those. The issue of provincial allocation and what the previous act or legislation described, we're hoping that with the new arrangements, as soon as we have dealt with the issue of regulation, we'll also be able to deal with the issue of the 5% that we expected to allocate to all the provinces. I'm told that my province, it's always the advantage that it is small. I've fought with some people who said that there's only sheep there in the Northern Cape, and so they know I'm here, so and there's been issues with the province in terms of our delivery, not with sports only. You should have seen that and for sports in some areas we're around 3%, and it's about other areas as well of the funding, be it charities, be it sports, and not sports only but other cultures. It's issues that we're focusing on, and we're hoping that you know, issues or the new opportunities that are coming with the new legislation of targeted funding should help us actually to go out there and identify projects that can be funded. But in a long time, our procedures in the organization actually requires us to make sure, just as an example, that data adjudication was similar. I know you always fight with me about this, that we take 30 days to make sure that the money is being paid into the hands of beneficiaries. We're looking into our systems. The board is very serious on making sure that we improve on that process, and that is due to the number of applications that we have had. So the issue of how we have been inundated with applications without preparing for the necessary you know, capacity in the organization that we deal with the applications is something that we're looking into and hope to address for the end of the financial year. Chairperson, I think this slide is meant for my chairperson in particular. Thank you.
Thank you very much, chairperson. I think like what Zoban indicated, the new bill of the new act will be operational, but it won't be new to the sports BA because the modus operandi didn't allow applicants to come even when the application is closed. In other words, like the project that is indicating that before the financial year ends, there's no call for now, but their nature, they are able to justify why this application has to be in place in order to address what is there in the community. So it will be very much easy for Sport DA to, you know, to act according to the new act, because after all, they were acting, Shen came when the sport and recreation court was closed, but they were able to know that because closing of the address is not in the act, only that the applications, the funding must be accessed by means of application. So sport gets itself to allow some of the important activities to be included in their budget. So I think going forward, we hope that the lives of the people will be changed drastically. Over to you, Chairman.
Thank you, Professor Chiu. Well, I remember that we can engage. Hopefully that we'll be able to. We know that the latest then they're on us a lot. So that we had a discussion with our committee. We are committing many trading industries June 1st, discussing the various issues for some time. I think that they were persuaded to share some of the things that we thought were very unfair for poor people. Because there will be lots of poor people all over. And also Professor Chiu, in the fact that poverty has migrated from rural areas to urban areas. Therefore, it wouldn't be correct for anyone in South Africa now to talk about poverty as if it's in rural areas. Due to migration of people over that follows them. In fact, if you go to Joburg, another area, the most impoverished people now are around the messages. The dilemma, therefore, that we are going to face in terms of allocation. Because we may take a view that you must develop rural areas, when in fact those people have moved away from rural areas, like urban areas, where it's practicing. And then how do you balance that would be a very interesting way of addressing the challenge, and I hope that we'll be able to find a better mechanism to deal with it. And Police, you wanted to make some point on it, and Mr. Lee, Cora, Messendane. Okay, Mr. Lee, what do you want us to do?
No, Chair, but first of all, I want you to thank the team for a very clear-cut presentation, very formative. And you know, this will be my last time that I'll be sitting on this side and you presenting. And therefore, I won't die. Not now. But I'm retiring. And really, Chairperson, I want to say thank you to that team for the assistance and support this committee got, but especially the assistance that I got personally. You know, I've interacted with the people sitting on that side, very informally, Chairperson, and very personally on other matters too, where they could assist.
We're not twisting the arms.
No. Just, you know, people come to you for assistance, and then you must do something about it. And then you have a little bit of interest, and therefore, I want to thank Chair, the new CEO, I think, and I see that she's on the board, Chairperson. Prabang is the name, and then my friend, Verile. Thanks for all the years of support and working with, and then the professor. Thank you ever so much for leading that team. You lady here and the DTI, I've got a few things to say about DTI too. But, you know, Chairperson, just as an aside, I'm asked a question. I've asked this question many times now. What are you going to do after the 7th of May? Yeah, I always speak here, what am I going to do? And perhaps Chairperson, looking at me very here, and looking at what's the need of this country, perhaps I'll be sitting on that side, and I'm going to talk to you about how to distribute funds about the need of this country. Yeah, I'm marking myself because Chairperson, I believe I can still make a contribution. That's important. I know the needs, I can still make a contribution. Looking at this infrastructure spend, and I believe the big example of what should be done is the free sector. If you look at how they do their things, if you go and look at what's happening on the ground and what they do there, I'm telling you, those people are the leaders. You look at, and I believe, Chairperson, perhaps we must tell people, listen, if you want money, so much must be spent on infrastructure. Understand? So much must be spent on this. It's no use having rugby balls and you don't have a field to play on, Chairperson. Therefore, I want to say again, Chairperson, make a study of this, and we've traveled this country. And what problems made the biggest impression of all of us? That's the free sector. Now you can see why. It comes through in everything they do, even in the way they spend their lots of money. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chairperson, I think what we must also do, and that is for the new Chairperson, I don't know whether you will be Chairperson or whoever else Chairperson, or the committee. Okay, we are a great Chairperson, but the others must listen. You know, we travel this country, and lot is never around to show us what they are doing. And other people claim your retreats. I'm telling you, you get to a place and they say, this is what we did. And then you see there the owner of the lottery. And then you ask yourself, I wonder who really did this. I believe next time around, we must invite the lottery to tell them that we are listening to the country. And they can also come here, like the department, they go with us. People I don't like, Jameson, and I don't want to mention the name. They go with us and they tell us what they did. Why don't you come with us? Because you are being such a wonderful fortune. And therefore they should be there, tell us exactly, so that nobody else can lie about their achievements, Jameson. So please, I think that is really what it is, that shortcoming on our part. But informing if they do that, we are going to do oversight visits in different areas. You must be there. The Department of Sports, even Department here too, you know, you also claim to do certain things. And, I'm not mean. But there are times when you look at these presentations, then you think to yourself, you know, didn't the department say that they put so much money into this and they put so much money into that? Like China. How much you know, perhaps it's not a lot of question really. So how much did you put into chat to the soccer? Because it's important to know all these things so that we can compare chapters. And lastly, DGI. I'm really pleased by your presentation. And I'm glad that you're saying that you are busy with the regulations. And I think the best people to consult about those regulations is perhaps sport, successful, and then also to consult this committee. Because we have a very, very key idea of how the money should be, how it should be regulated, you understand? Because we are unhappy about a number of things for many years. And I think we all will agree that from our side we can sort of show the way how it should be done, what we want to see in those regulations, give effect to what the needs of the grounds are, and what's the best way to do it. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me agree with Honorable Lee. It's obviously we are going to die on that. I know that you said that you
buy a lot of consultants so to steal your money.
I forgot that I was supposed to thank you and the committee for the fruit which you bought me when I was in Africa. Although I got the fruit after I was discharged. Thank you for visiting me there. You know, you pass on this of capacity building. I just wonder how far do you drive in terms of artificial federation? So what are you talking in terms of capacity building? You're talking in terms of governance. And if you look what is happening with federation, it's really that they need this capacity. When you do that, how do you do it? You just do it for the certain people working with you. Because if you look at in our federation, most of our federations are in a mess. You look at governance. You look at what's happening in athletics. So I just wonder how do you assist them with that capacity. And I think the department also has a role there to play in terms of monitoring what is happening. You see, this international laws. These are the laws of the countries. it makes this big federation that will run amok and can't call them to order. They think that they will write to the IAF or whatever they do. Those are the things which you have to look at really, and when we say we give them money, then we want to see the accountability for that money. I'm very glad that you say that you people are looking at this because many of the people, as Mr. Lee indicated, they come to us and they say, we don't understand, we don't have these issues as you reported it on the state that you are saying. I said that I have them. So I think we have to look in terms of how to balance this. I don't think that people must not account. No, people must account. Mr. Lula, here in this which phase is it? Is it withdrawal? I think it's 18 million. Mm-hmm. Could you explain why this withdrawal is 18 million? Mm-hmm. And I think that Prof said that you would be in a position to just grant 62 million at the end of March. Can we be taken on board and say that, look, I think that there are some figures which say that this went to that problem, or what went is allocated, so that when we go around, we can check, is it in there? I'll never forget, we went to the Eden Cape. A 50 million code was spent on the facility, but when you look at the facility, it's not even doing that, there was 5 million spent on that facility. You see? And to me, it's a problem. Really. And when I ask them, who was the contractor? Why did they continue to pay them after they done their job? They ran away. But they know who does that. And I told them, you know, that this is their son, this is their son, who was the contractor there. That's why they can't do anything about those things. So they assist us, as the indicated that. This other thing that this 100 million is a problem, Mr. Mula, which you spoke about, could it also be understood that for what? What is this 100 million? What is it going to do? I mean, if you look at this matter, they come from different provinces. They can go and check how this is the wound. Those are the kind of things which we are paid to do. And to do oversight. And proper oversight. Then this is there. I don't want to talk about this thing because you cry.
Chairperson, we really appreciate the presentation given by MP. Chairperson, as they presented, we also were best to our interaction with the NLB last time. And they seem to have sort of attended to some of our questions, especially when we wanted to find out why applications not responded to, because we do have public opportunities get from our constituencies where the constituencies feel that they are not actually responded to. As we get from them that it is now in the plan to attend today. Can they share with the committee the improvements on the applications, responses to the applications? I know when they put up the on the challenges, they actually mentioned that some applications were not approved due to certain reasons. But can they share with us today how many, what improvements can they say? Compared to the previous, and also they said that they cannot put the application exceed the resources they have. So what targets do they set for themselves, and how are they distributing these targets among the partners? Because we can see here that they've got labs, schools, NGOs, municipalities, you name them. So how do they distribute according to their partner, so that we can, as a public authority, be in a manner
to check when they give a three-year breakdown to see that there is an improvement. And for what time frame was, we need to have their time frame so that we can see that maybe the 3 year thing or the 5 year plan, it will make us also to monitor how NLP is actually doing. And also they also talk of, when we talked on the new legislation that it will actually assist because they would set priorities for the impact on whatever application. If we look at that, how are they going to make, because they are talking to us, they are saying they come to now, how do they go out to tell the people out there, because for us we can take it, but we cannot reach out. How do they reach out? Do they have a plan on saying this is how we want you to do the legislation? It's actually needing you to do this and this and this, so that we can actually monitor the people's understanding and also the application, so they cannot be sent out. On the provincial investment closing the gap, I look at you know, the highest is 23% and the least is 4%, and to us it does not make sense when you have the 23% in your highest and then you have your 4% as the least. So how do you intend to do that gap? Because when Ubaba Unula presented that, they have also observed that we have this path imbalance, and if we have that path imbalance, how do you intend to close the gap to make us come closer to the 23% or maybe higher than that, if maybe the 23% actually gone up? Because when you look at the poll, to me, it will make you have some time to close that gap. I wanted maybe to take on that. And also appreciate some way you talked of the coordinated approach to funding for facilities. But as you said that, I do not have maybe the tangible plan to say we are intending to have facilities in Popo, so many in housing, so many. Maybe if we can get a breakdown, we can monitor them.
Thank you very much. Whatever I will advise you and the team to respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The members by the on this side was also attempting to answer some questions. But let me look at the money that we have. I indicated sports this year, they use all the budget. All in all, the lottery is more than 2 billion per annum. And where we are going, maybe before you retire, we are going to a hard reality. Unless if we don't touch this resource generally, because, as Logan indicated, the act that was passed in 1997, it was giving everybody a free for all. And free for all, I think the person you understand, I may be full in my stomach, but when I see food, I become hungry. And it's even when my stomach is full. It will not be. And I was here in Africa after I spoke to the chairperson. I was with our Minister of Trade and Industry, Rob Davis, who was saying to the people of Cape Town, from April until last week, we were showing them that we have already distributed 258 million just on the province alone. I mean, across all sectors. So what I'm saying to you, Chairperson, we are going to very hard reality. and I think the chairperson of the sports has indicated, if we give them 500 million, whether we like it or not, we need to say the money that will be, as Robert indicated, the money that will be based on applications is so much. Either 300 million should be for applications. The other one must be what she said. In other words, where there are needs. We cannot close the gap if we are not open enough to make sure that the 200 that the ring fence must be earmarked to province Adam Kumalanga, Eastern Cape, so that at least, even if you don't meet that 5%, even if somebody is S33, the 4% that you see, at least somebody must go and see there is a playground here. Even if we got 4%, but there is a playground, there is a stadium, there is a hall, at least I think we'll be moving somewhere. If we don't do that, those perhaps will continue to have it. They have not, will continue to have not to have it. So I'm saying, our visibility, or the one that you indicated, our visibility should be a thing that all members, when you go to your consulate office, there must be projects that you can see and testify that these projects are funded by LOTA. The minister holds a challenge in traffic. So in other countries, you find the Olympic, London Olympic. Now there was a very big board funded by, or sponsored by, the UK LOTA. Here, I think for you to see our logo, you have to struggle. Either you see the corner, you see that at the corner, but in most cases, you find that we are the main sponsor. We are the main sponsor. And I agree with you, Honorable God, that because of the affiliation somewhere international, the laws of international disability say to that organization, no. If you don't recognize us, even if they didn't pay anything, but they will be recognized everywhere. Mm. And yet in South Africa, we're still hearing people who are saying there's nothing happening. They're building stadiums, they're building walls, they're building playgrounds. This 258 million is not a post money. Hard cash we're given to people. So it will increase our visibility. We are also making sure that if you are funded by national lawyers, we'll make it public so that everybody must know. I won't forget the story that happened in one of the provinces where one member is coming from. The people got the money. They started fighting. So they reported. So they reported to the legislature. So when they appear in the legislature, the legislature found that no, you're fighting for this movie. It's not your movie. It is the lawyer's movie. So the chief was trying to be a mediator. He's correct because he's preserving that which belongs to government or that which belongs to the national lawyer. Because they were fighting. The child was saying, no, my mother died, so I'm taking this. Mr. Porter will elaborate the Madrigal Domain, I think Robert will elaborate on. But I must indicate that the new act becomes very easy now. And I think the regulations will make it very easy then, because the intention of DPI is to make sure that forms, applications must not only have a time. It must be an open-ended. Not as we go on, I think it will be open-ended. When a need arises, the person will walk at the office of the LB and help him the application, and the need must be addressed. So I think she will explain about the mandatory document. Monitoring of the facilities, yes, because our office, the personnel was very much lean. We are signing agreements with bodies like Red Lawyers Association, Chartered Accountants of South Africa, SARGA, so that they become the monitoring agents. The out of Traditional Leaders Association, they have already signed with us. So that when they approve the project, the Hoshi there must know that this is a project. Because it is a project for the community. It's not a project for a human being in order to enrich yourself. So the chief there must know that the project is funded by Sultan, so that at least, I'm an MP on that constituency, I must be boastful of what the Rotary is doing in that community. I must be able to go and look at that project. So we'll increase our visibility and monitoring for all these monies that we are giving to the organization. I think we will start with the open.
So thanks, Chef. I think I'm just gonna respond quickly to in the form of noting the comments made by Honorable Lee in terms of the stakeholders to be consulted in the particular case for the regulations that will be done. We do consider those stakeholders as significant, and we do that. In terms of the comments that Honorable Cora made around the governance, especially the current challenges in the Federation. This is an issue that we discussed as an organization, and it's not only around governance, but around financial management. And one of the things that we have discussed is that in the way that we allocate funds, we should be also in a position to ring-fence a certain amount for proper governance structures, proper financial management. And the chair has also alluded to some of the partnerships that we have. One of the partnerships that we had with the accountants, the Chartered Accountants Organization, is to also to try and assist the beneficiaries to have proper financial management, so that they are able to utilize the funds that they receive, but they're also able to account for them. Because one of the things is that you cannot drop the requirements around your audited financial statement or the, because that is a mechanism to sort of control. You cannot drop that without balancing it with something else. So we are enhancing rather monitoring instead of we lessening the burden for entry, so that you not necessarily excluded completely from entering, but enter. But once you enter, we also support you to have the system to be able to account for yourself. So that is what we have been doing, and I think going forward in terms of the regulations, that's where we're going to also indicate what portion, how much in the allocation should go to that. And so that we can ensure that the organizations do have the support that is necessary. The other issues that have been raised would relate to the CEO's functions, but I think I should be well placed, Honorable Zindani, to say that in terms of the measurement, how are we going to measure the impact, or how are we going to measure that we are actually doing well on the new things that we're going to introduce. Currently, yes, we do have our own internal turnaround time, but I think it is not clear how long it should take from application to ultimately paying a beneficiary. So that is going to be clear in the regulations. So you would be able to also measure the entity's performance based on the turnaround times, which was something that was difficult previously because they were not in turnaround times. Right now, you would not know. But I can say to you that when we had programs in the National Law Transport, our backlog were dating from 3 years to 4 years. We don't have a backlog anymore. So we're able to measure by the improvement in the turnaround time in terms of the time it takes to receive an application and ultimately paying a beneficiary. That has been reduced significantly, and we'll continue to put that as a tool for measuring the performance of the organization. But also in terms of the target amounts that should be distributed in a year, because that should also be important, because we don't want to roll over funds when actually there isn't on the ground. So the target also needs to be set, and something that we're looking at. And also just in terms of the area around the impact that is being made, we can measure that according to the number of projects on the ground, how many facilities have been built, how many beneficiaries. And one thing that is always actually ignored is how many jobs are created by the funds that we are getting. And because there isn't any proper, the NGOs likely are not required to submit reports to the Labor Department, so you don't really get the steps. So it's easy for people to disregard the significant impact that you make on the jobs through this funds that we are taking. So that is an area which we have included in the impact study that the CEO talked to. We included that part so that we can then continuously put a measure as well. So if we fund a project, we want to know how many jobs are we creating there, and then we can always measure. There may be temporary jobs, but then there are jobs at the end of the day. Some of them are not necessarily temporary. So we put that also as part of our measure. But we've also put in monitoring systems, which were not there before. So in addition to what the committee, I think, is saying, that you can also, in fact, help with the oversight, because when you go to these provinces, you can see the projects and be in a position to verify that these projects do exist. But in the organization as well, we have introduced that, the monitoring section, because we saw that there is a gap, because then you have to measure if you're not having the monitoring capacity. So we have established that, and it is working very well so far. And part of that is also verification, upfront verification, which we didn't do before. When people apply, the initial verification was not done. But now we do that on a random basis, so that you can also sample projects. And sometimes we do pick up, as like I said, a number of people have now mastered the art of applying. You find that organizations don't exist. You find that the financial statements that they give to you don't actually exist, in fact. They are just cooked, just make an application. You find that one consultant makes 10 sets of financial statements. That's just the same for an application. So you pick organization one, the financial statements are the same as organization 10. So all of those things are now being monitored. So that process is helping us to pick up these things. So we're also able to put that how many projects we reject for being fraudulent and all of that. That should be a measure because it is a monitoring tool. So we have introduced that in the organization. And lastly, I just wanted to say that also in terms of visibility, I think we have enhanced the education awareness in the organization. It wasn't there before. I think the reason I'm saying this, Chair, is because this thing never existed in the organization. Therefore, it was difficult to even, know what is it that is happening on the ground. So, in terms of the visibility of the organization, we've introduced that it's not about just showing the NLP logo. It's about the people understanding that when they actually play a lot of tickets, this is what they contribute to. And also, this is what are the results of your contribution on the ground. So that visibility and the identification of this good cause, to the government, I think is very important. And Chair says that when they see food, they will eat. Even if they are hungry, that's true. But that's what happens now. We are finding that the happening because it is money in the lot. Then people come. And so we need to put the mechanism to stop that. And so it is really a balancing act because there may be some that, yeah, they must eat, but it's okay. It's necessary because there's a donation. But I think that what I spoke about around that controlling mechanism in terms of what should be going into a pocket of a person administering vis-a-vis what needs to go to the projects on the ground. So you find that 50 million project, which doesn't show, like 90% of the money went into the pocket. It didn't go into the project. So we're putting a mechanism to deal with it, and that will be another way of also measuring our performance in terms of where we are actually putting those mechanisms into practical use on the ground. Thank you.
Can I answer the question of the Honorable Mr. Kifashe around the 100 million? It's not 100 million per province. 100 million you put aside and say you allocate 10 million over a period of time in each province and then have 10 million then 10 million for administration. What was looking at, Chairperson, the Department of Sport has got a plan as far as your cities are concerned. You are saying we can't have our separate plan while they've got another one.
Mm.
This bit of what we talked to some because of serving the same local care. And therefore we've got to, you know, to get together and see how we tackle the issue of the facilities. And the current facility we are looking at is an AC facility. But AC facility, I mean, something that will have a field to cater for around even soccer. So that you can do a post. And then also have a beach to create on the same field. And then you have to cater for women. For the netball, the volleyball, the cattle multiple was that thing. And then in this field, what is going to be out here so and so on, you've also got an athletic track. Right? And then also, because the swimming is not as popular among our people, and swimming today is an Olympic sport. You have a swimming there. So in other words, what we're saying, we try to cover all the bases by having this multi-purpose. But now I really like what I hear from the committee comments made here, that what's getting so far? Because you as politicians, your influence in the various communities where you are. So I can't just walk up in Kurukwai where nobody knows me. But if it's a position, then that person is known and is respected as well. So that's the facility Honorable Member. Having to all of the citizens now, regarding the allocation that we've done, we are also very perturbed that the Northern Cape only gets 1.68% for the allocation, and Northwest 3.67%. But if you look at the Gauteng, it's 22. It's kind of misleading in the sense that in that 22.94, it also includes the major federations. It was all of them are based in Johannesburg. So if you take the national federations aside, that's only 2%. But what we've decided as a committee is that with the Northern Cape and the Northwest, we can't just leave that facility. But what is our initiative? I think consultation with the people that have benefit and identify each tangible process that can be applied to, so as to bring their life up. Honestly speaking, when we make calls, we get very, very few applications from the social office. I think that's something that we must address. Although the office has done a very, very good thing, that is now going around the country having stakeholder sessions and so on, explaining how to apply all those kinds of things. And then last week was a very, very good stakeholder session in Cape Town, which was fully supported, I think, for long too. And it went down very, very well, with the people there. Which also addresses an effect that it is. You are not visible. It's up to time. I think that stakeholder session that we had in Cape Town addressed that. So, this issue of the facility will have to do a lot of consultation, building partnerships, so that at the end of the day, the objective that is agreed on the facility is reached. But the tenant of people is that once people will have made money in the past, and then there's a lot of money in the society. So you need to avoid that. And the only way you can avoid that is to involve as many influential people as possible. That's what we're going to do with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think most of the issues have been addressed by those who talk to us, including spoke about the issue of disability and the rule as well, alluded to the stakeholder engagement that we had last week here in the province. Now, but I just wanted to add that last year when we were here, we gave a presentation on the number of health and workshops that we have held throughout the country, even before my time there in the previous year, and which, just as a reminder, would have resulted in the number of applications increasing. So we then evaluated what we did. We are continuing with the workshops, but we have a different focus altogether. It's no longer a question of helping people with applications, but it's about making sure that their applications are put together in such a way that it gives them a higher opportunity or chance to access funding. We have the annual Indaba is coming in April. In that organization, only the chairperson of the board announces the date of the Indaba. So the chairperson will come back with the date of Indaba. It should be around April. And after the Indaba, we make sure that because it's usually big, where all the beneficiaries from the country gather together, you know, to focus on a lot of issues that have to do with money, but not that only. Not that only. It's about how we can also improve in terms of the service we are providing to the people. So it's an opportunity for us to get that feedback. And we have been one in April, the chairperson will announce the date. After that Indaba, we go to provinces, different provinces, to give beneficiaries from those areas individual attention. We do a period of 2 days where we'll meet with them the three, you know, a night before, just to talk about issues that they could be having challenges with. And now, as you rightly observed, the issue of the gap and how we're closing that gap in terms of previous imbalances. So we're able to get an idea of what is happening in the province from different people, even the ones who are not necessarily our beneficiaries, and that gives us a better idea of what we still require to address or to deal with in different provinces. We have a very active or interactive website that we're using, but we are aware of the central divide, the technology divide in the country, and as a result, we're trying to, you know, have new lectures, get messages sent to different communities. It's an area that we just started working on recently. We hope to improve. Our call center is very, very active. So for those people who do not have access to computers and cannot communicate with us, they really interacting with us through the call center. And we have tried to embark on a small scale kind of marketing activity, a taxi ranks, and you know, especially in those outlying areas, so that people can know and have the numbers on who to phone and who to talk to when they have the challenges. And the last thing that we have not addressed in terms of the question was how we further deal with that gap, and I think Jerry has been doing a lot of work on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think in addition to the points that have already been raised, I think including the comment from Ms. Ntuli around how to the measures being taken to address some of these gaps. One of the additional things that we came up in our discussion with the charity sector recently is, for example, what we intend also doing now is to use the data we have, for example, in the Northern Cape around those organizations that have been declined with previous attempts, and actually target them even before we do the kind of generic awareness that we do that comes with the qualifications, and maybe just go in and then having sessions with those ones that have been declined even before the call comes, so that we can focus and then talk to them very in a very concrete way about the reasons for their projects being declined in terms of not meeting some of those requirements. So that is the additional a tool and mechanism that we are now discussing implementing to further enhance to reduce the number of non-compliant applications. As Mr. Nula indicated, that our challenge is that a lot of those provinces already start on the back foot. If you just look at the number of applications that is coming from a Northern Cape versus a Western Cape or a Gauteng. So your pool from which you can actually allocate is already small. And then now inside that, you then still have high level of declines because of not meeting the mandated. So your pool from which you can actually fund sometimes is very smaller than what you would initially receive. We also, in terms of previous presentations, we're also busy in the rollout of provincial offices, which also think will assist. In fact, today is the closing day for the procedures for Northern Cape and for Free State, where we is the next provinces where we target before to roll out. So we think by having that presence all on the ground will also assist in being able to deal with some of those challenges and people can get access the services and getting explanations quite good. The distributing agencies are also trying within the context of the guidelines to also prioritize those provinces when it comes to adjudication in terms of just the sequencing and so forth. So there's a lot of things that are being done parallel to try and address that particular problem. I just also want to just then respond to the question of the withdrawals. I think it was not the great issue. There's a lot of different reasons why there would be withdrawals. And I know initially when we discussed also with the board, I know it's very something that people don't understand when you say that sometimes beneficiaries don't come back to you after you gave them a letter to say I've allocated 1.5 million. But believe me, it's happening. And one of the reasons, and it's for various reasons, you know, NGOs are run through voluntary services and so forth. They change management and stuff. So you find a lot of person that submitted an application, when the time the response comes, he's gone or she's gone. And nobody else know about that thing. So then you say to you wait and you start following up and you say sometimes you can't even reach that organization again through the contact details in the application form. But sometimes when you reach them then, they say we don't know about this thing, and really I don't know, so I think you might take the money back, you know. And I've noticed for DA specifically, they are very reluctant to actually withdraw. They will always get us back and say try again. So that's one of the reasons. So people never return actually the grant agreement that will then release the funds. And after a lot of attempts, then there's no choice because, I mean, there's also rules in terms of the PSFP in terms of sitting with kind of a commitment that would not realize after a certain time. The second part is, sometimes they go past that stage or they return the grant agreement. A lot of the funding is also done in terms of more than one tranche. And part of it is about also mitigating and making sure that the money is spent well. So sometimes somebody will get 5 million rand. In fact, I actually met with some of organization like that yesterday, where they said, you know, we compared with our peers, we're not getting the same kind of money. And one of the things that we picked up when we prepared for the meeting is that they have received the allocation of 4.5 million, 3 or 2 years later. The first tranche was 3 million, so they got the 3 million. So the balance of 1.5 is now dependent on you submitting a report on the 3 million. And again, that's one of my theories. People are saying, I've received 2/3 of that money, so because I can't account properly, I'd rather leave that 1.5 and move on with my life. So that is the other reason then that the DA would say, we've been sitting with this balance of 1.5 for 3 years. Somebody else can use that money, so we will then, and then just a later third, just, I don't know if I'm going to go exhaustively, but the third possible reason can be obviously where there was non-compliance with the grant agreement. And I'm also not just normal non-compliance, I mean also severe non-compliance. Because the DAs, again, they would look at the merit and whatever. It's something minor, you know, but sometimes you will find that basically, even through whistleblowing from within the organization, you would find that the money was not used for the purposes for which it was given. The chairperson or the manager of that organization decided instead of buying food for the beneficiaries, decided they need a new car, for example. So, and that's what happened. So, it can then be that withdrawal, but in some cases where grievous, especially withdrawal, then the NLB would also pursue actually reclaiming that full amount back. So yeah, that is just some of the reasons why you can have withdrawal. But I must reiterate, it is not something that the DA's, I mean the distributing agencies, agree to lightly. They would really exhaust all avenues. I thought just lastly, in complimenting Mr. Mutulis respond to the issue, response around the issues of turnaround times, I just looked quickly and I said that, and as indicated, that one of the key things is that I think that we improve this thing massively is having that full-time educators on board there every day, like I'm clocking in and clocking out will be there. But just to give you a sense of some of the strides that have been made, even under their circumstances, you know, prior to the current call finalizing, as part of the capacity, we actually had an increase from our previous call to the latest one, which was end of November. So we actually started adjudicating at the beginning of 2013 financial year. The increase was actually 1,000 on the previous one. The previous call was 2010. And it took us almost two financial years to get through 3,292 applications. With the current call, the number of applications increased with 1,000. And we could complete it now one financial year. It is not still what we want. But if you look at the fact that Mr. Nura there comes there once a month for 2 or 3 days, and they're doing 100 or 200, if you are always explaining, last week I had to explain to a lot of beneficiaries after the session, and I said, just look at the pure maths. For example, if you take charities, they receive 7,700 applications with the last call. So if they do 200 a month, in 10 months they would have only covered 2,000, still 5,000 remaining. That is just the reality of institutional restrictions which the app will now address for us. So I thought I just mentioned that maybe it's the last point. I think, Mr. Dan, there was another point about how do the distributing agencies deal with the different categories of staff given the budget. I think what the sports we have tried to do, and it's a very difficult thing, we discussed it over breakfast, myself, the CEO and the chairperson about the downside of it. But in attempt to do that, what I usually do is before call or before the applications close, they would sit down and say, we have X 460 million. We've got these different categories, national federations, clubs and so forth. How can we, in a balanced way, split this cake? And then what would they then do is, they would then kind of put in some kind of limitation saying that schools for this year, we will do up to 100,000 rand. It's not an ideal thing to do because sometimes from a club which do very good work, they might need actually 500,000 rand. Now we speak up to 200,000. But I think under the circumstances of all these different priorities and the fact that you need to spread, that's the way they're trying to attack. So up front, they know we can't give 90% of the funds to national federations. They would get to attempt the split of that overall figure and then try and manage that balance in that particular way. But it's one of those things I think that has also been alluded to through the response to some of the other responses. For example, say that the proactive funding will now also assist, for example, in even addressing that gap that we've been talking about in the Northern Cape, because now we depend on what they submit. But with the new act, we would be able to go out and identify and then, based on that, try and fill those gaps. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Chair. There are something that maybe and another good member that is going to help us. Our people, when it is time for applications to be handed in, usually we give it 2 months. This is my 5th year. On the last day, it's 80% people who are submitting. And then we, you know, in the address we write, first come, first serve. So a person has to, for example, say, the last one was us last year on the 18th. We were having in the hour. Hey, we saw a lot of applications coming. And one applicant dropped in the application, I think it was around lunch. The following day on the 19th, he was phoning me. How far is my application? Just come, first. The one who submitted the application
Around that time, the following day, how far did it happen? So I asked him, when did you submit the application? Yesterday. I said, no. Said, these two team agencies are attending the Indaba. They are not adjudicating. In fact, your application will be adjudicated on the last day. Because it came the last day, it came on the last hours of the day.
No. Okay, no. No, but that would have to accept though to happen. Mr. Lee, we don't want to be here for us. No, I'm just telling that. It's not the end. Because we are retiring doesn't mean that we are not going to we will absolutely want to address you. It's not about the only thing I wanted to raise it. For research who is a preaching agent that we are. Before you grant the real money, you go and have to investigate whether the organization that has applied is actually and then of course the organization that started by Paul and his wife, they are very competent, they write a good thing, and then and then I would applaud that because we don't have sufficient resources for this people. That whatever we do, we should be able to first to ascertain that the organization is actually it is an NGO, it's an NGO that is existing. Surely if a person says, I'm running an NGO in Alexandria, there are thousands of colleagues in Alexandria. If you don't want members of parliament, there will be thousands of other colleagues in Alexandria that can verify whether this football club exists or not existing at all. Because I think it's very easy to pump money to poor people and cause harm them good. And then there was this man, but we caused harm. They are not assisting us to deal with the problem of poverty in our society. Because every resource that is made available should be assisting us to address the challenges facing the country. I think it's going to face us for many years to come unless we intervene. The poverty issue, the inequality in unemployment. Therefore, every line that is spent must be assisting us to address these challenges. Because it becomes almost a waste of money. The NGOs are very important organizations. But also I guess that the most of the fraudulent application is precisely because if I'm with my friend Lee, I know that Lee is a former principal, he knows how to write any proposal. He had a very good proposal. If he has not written anyway many proposals. But he can write a very good proposal and surely it can be convincing to you. But also we wouldn't have enough time anyway just to look at everyone as honest or not honest or not. But I would have thought that because I think that should be proportional. If I'm applying for 5 million, surely you do have a duty to go and investigate and ascertain ourselves that the money that we are spending there. Because you are not an NGO anyway. NGO can use your money if you get it from Soros. It's you and Soros. Fine. But this one is through the legislation. Therefore, you are almost like a government agent. That's why EMFA applies to you. Because you're not an NGO that you got money from Open Foundation, from Rockefeller families, and then it depends whether I help you or not. The regulation that should is followed, I guess. Because that will be very, because there will be no impact then, so to speak. 10 years down the line, because we must assess whether this load, bearing in mind anyway, when you started the load, a large number of people were opposed to it. Someone reached on the richest ground. In federal, is completely opposed to it. They went all out in churches everywhere. This thing is a problem, it's ungodly, whatever thing that they say. Are we able to persuade them to agree that the lotto is going to improve the quality of life of society? Then I think 10 years down the line, or That's why we've been able to improve the political plan. Because then I will take again the funding approach. And even our friend DA tried to fund with my hand. Well, the typical funding. But the point I'm raising was that. And I think also the DGI, they will have a responsibility, the department responsible for that this first resource that is there is utilized to address what ourselves we want to address at the state level, the government level. And then we want to defeat it. Because if we don't do that, every person applies, that's why it will be 3,000 people who apply. But I think you must find that maybe there are only 250 people who are there for purchasing the cost of our property. Some really is about buying the Range Rovers. I think the empowerment car now. This even this young man, I think he's going to buy one. If he has an application that is successful.
What about Salonian Pizza?
This one's from Queenstown, it's very poor and the point raised was the first car of the process. But the point I'm raising for federal, it is important that learning from experience, people they watch everything, fraudulent everywhere. And then, but you must limit the space for it. But my view general that we must fund organizations that we are convinced that are making impact to address the problems. Surely, a man in a female organization home with one computer and one laptop, not a laptop, may not really have more impact than an organized women organization in society. But given the fact that also women in general speaking, they were the most oppressed prior to 1994. African women just in the system. I would have hoped that some of these organizations would be assisting them. Because anyway, the most poverty people in South Africa now are female African women. Therefore, I would have thought that because we are a government agent, we are not an NGO, you will also see what are the priorities of government and you will fund according to the priorities of government. Rather than really putting 500,000 rand in another corner, then you can't even see only. Because very good, if you give this young man 5 million rand and then you are fraudulent to pay. Surely it'd be wise for you to simply disappear. 3 million rand is guaranteed, is banked, is off. I think to me, we must really look at serious. I think there is a few dimensions. Not only for though. I think there's money will be everywhere. Just to ensure that we accept this thing, whether we hit the right people. Because I can argue that there are a lot of genuine organizations headed by women sometimes in rural areas because they don't have very competent people to write proposals. They are always marginalized. And they're marginalized and I think also their application will be from Johannesburg, will be from housing, majority of them, because the middle class is in housing poverty. Therefore all applicants will be from Johannesburg, generally speaking, will be from housing Western Cape. In case they didn't get it. Those of you who are natural, they make it out, they were educated, they are there. They know the system, they will stop the system, giving application, you know, I'm assisting these women there. They don't even know it. I don't think that we must really on our side, just to ensure progress in the future, that, of course, as we go on, and hopefully, Cora will have time to engage 10 years down the line, the impact that we have made in assisting the poor people, because also, we must not also do what I think we are doing, Professor. A hit and run funding approach. You fund an organization this year, and you dump them next year. You dump them 500,000 rand. When they try to move, you dump them because you have fund for other organizations. There is no systematic control that people reach a certain level, they open home, and therefore they are able to move themselves. Because that is a great problem. Because money in general amongst poor people is always a great problem. It has to work on the most educated people in families. Lee knows it best. But that is very my piece general, not necessarily a person. That we should question the management of this problem. although you can say, I always very worried about demanding federation, NEMA federation. Because NEMA federation, by their very nature, they should be self-sufficient. And then it should be self-sufficient. You should only find them if you are going to run jointly with them, whatever agenda you have for developing that purpose. But really to fund staff for running their office, that would be very wrong. And to fund staff to run their offices, I think would be very wrong. Because a national federation, by very nature, should be able to work to ensure that they run their affairs, they are sponsored for them, everything for them. And I thought really what was meant for general population to take them to a certain level of development. And I think I wanted just with the general comment of it, I think we'll start it to run after Mr. Lee has been asked.
Yeah. Jameson, you've spoken about it now, about fraud and fraudulent activities. Now, the best way to curb that is for us to prosecute such people. Now, the question is, have you prosecuted any of the fraudsters in the past? How many prosecutions have you done? Do you understand? They must pay for what the wrong they are doing. I think that's important. Secondly, you know, to me, it's about 22%. We are not happy with the fact that 22% goes to sport. That is really the basis of our argument, because we believe that, you know, most of the money should go to sport. For this reason, the sports-driven thing, it was initiated by sport. And therefore, you know, you can argue about all these other things, but the amount of money that's allocated to sport, if it remains or the percentage remains the same, you know, the argument will persist. Now, my question is whether it is sort of a legal imperative for us only to have the 22%, or in this law, are we admitting the fact, you know, the percentages given to the different codes? I want to re-emphasize, Chairman, that to me it is also about the percentage that is given to sport. And I want to make a case out for us giving more to sport, more than the 22%. If I just could just add, you see, Chairman, there are so many things that we really must do. If I look at netball, if I look at boxing, they are performing well. Netball is performing brilliantly. And it's human sport, understand? And they need the support, but they can't be given the support because of the 22% of it.
I have got just one question. I want to check with Roto that as to whether whatever it is, you know, some years back, where Roto was the sponsor imports, just the imports, or the money enough to pay his, you know, the bill. That's the question that I want to check, because I've seen a number of them.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is based on what we discovered. Chairperson, is before you made us to be maybe I would be not talking to the when we visited Limpopo that day to our oversight, we found that the sports council has applied for some funds from the auto to buy gymnastic equipment. And we found that those gymnastic equipment are still lying in their offices for more than 3 years. More than six years. I just want to find out whether, do you follow up? What mechanism do you have as a follow up to the requested or the applications, because they would motivate that maybe they would require this or purchasing this and this and this. How do you follow up so that that would say you can also own
the credit of you sponsoring organization. Especially, I think we talked of saying you see lots of down there where there is some maybe big address or whatever that shows that they have received maybe some contact from certain big whatever name. So what do you have to say you would actually be sure that if let's say organization A requests to apply for funds to buy maybe some sports equipment and what it is, that you can hear that our colleagues are emphasizing on sports being given priority. That one was the priority for sports, but it's still lying there. How do we follow up?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You see, Russia, this thing was people eating for the sake of
eating. And he said, you also drank. It's very true now. Who is Adam? Cooking for the sake of eating.
Yes.
What do you think about the one of the resolutions there was school sport. Are we calling them to the department so that we can see, know that there are some health issues, that's why this thing can take off properly, but are we looking into that one? The other issue, I think, Honorable DS started with, the issue of never and the issue of boxing, really, if you look, really, the department is a small city. And what boxing gets, boxing won't get out of that factor. There will always be a red robot, because there is nothing there. So, how do we assist them? I'm assisting people. I've also been calling just like who don't have me. See that can you look at, yeah, I don't say that. Mr. Nulai took him to the school in 20. We should apply there, the number we gave them, the number they couldn't work on the ship. So when you put you the ones, you must deliver. Last issue, last issue. Your engagement with the municipalities, really. You know, in 2020, there are two stadiums. The one is in Tao. The one is in the current community, one is in the African community. And they look like what I'm saying to you. The town one is far ahead. The second one is one in Brisbane. The one in Boletu. Now they said the school was supposed to have an attractive there. They were told go to town. But that municipality is also authorized on behalf of the municipality. So this is what we look at the vehicle. And know that if it's still waiting for you, dear brother. And I told them, I'll come with you. I know where you stay for now.
Okay, well,
thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for giving us an opportunity to also be part of the discussion. I'm going to raise a few things, and my colleague is here listening to the chat, and he'll also respond to some of the issues that have been raised by the members in terms of department's involvement in some of the issues that we do in jointly, or we are also responsible by as a department. Mr. Chairperson, we acknowledge and we the presentation and the responses that have come from the lottery to the various questions that have been posed by the members. We also acknowledge the fact and we note the fact that there is an acknowledgement of the fact that there's only one sport and recreation plan for the country, the National Sport and Recreation Plan that was adopted in Cabinet in May 2012. However, Mr. Chairperson, I think it is the detail. The devil lies in the detail that as much as yes, that we do acknowledge that there's a plan, the important thing is that we need to work very closely with the lottery and with other stakeholders in making sure that the implementation of the plan takes place optimally. And I think somewhere that where we need to engage the lottery further and to work very closely with them. Otherwise, we run the risk of having not double dipping but multi dipping at various sectors. What we can see, Mr. Chairperson, is that the money that goes to lottery makes up almost 50% of what the department's budget is. And I think there's much more we can do if we work closely together, if there's greater engagement. We do appreciate the fact that we've had various engagements with the lottery. We were provided an opportunity to present our plans to the workshop. We've been part of the workshop. There have been the one-on-one engagements with the chairperson, with the CEO, with the chairperson of the distribution agency on various projects and programs that are very, very critical for delivery of sport in the country. However, Mr. Chairperson, I think there is a greater chance, a greater opportunity for us to work closely together. If you look at some of the areas that we have finalized on, we are working on the facilities plan. We have finalized the classification framework. And I did hear the chairperson talk about the types of facilities that they would like to build. And our classification framework actually speaks to some of that. So I think, yes, there is great engagement between ourselves and the lottery. Mr. Chairperson, I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Jacob, who will speak on the other aspects.
Thanks, Chairperson, and honored members. There's a direct question that I'd probably like to respond to from Honorable Lee about what has been our contribution to CHEN. You remember that in terms of the budget and MTF estimates, our allocation was seated about 918 million rand. But ultimately, what we received is just about 1.037 billion. Now, when you look at the difference, we have had to transfer to host cities a total of 120 million. The breakdown is that Cape Town received 63 million, Polokwane received 28.5 million, Mangaung received 38.5 million. Over and above that, we have had to transfer also to the CHEN LOC, just about 6 million. And then directly from the department, we budgeted 2 million rand for mobilization. So that is what has been the total allocation from the department, just around 158 million. 120 to host cities, 36 million to the LOC, and 2 million is the money that we spent on mobilization. Chairperson, to be honest, I think it has been one of the most exciting experiences to sit here and listen to what the lottery presented to this Honorable Portfolio Committee. Most of the issues that have been thorny issues in the department, I think, have been responded to. And the intervention from the legislative amendment, I think, will ease what has been the pain in the wound. The chairperson spoke a very long deal about alignment of priorities, and the CEO also mentioned that the National Sport and Recreation assists us to do that. But I think this issue of application-based funding models has been quite a sticky one to us for a long time, because the developmental stage is an intervening stage. And when we identified that there were problems and there were challenges, we didn't have the necessary capacity to intervene. We've had this engagement, and we welcome, I think, again, what the chairperson mentioned, that he would once more invite us to engage with the distributing agency, so that we go a bit deeper into what are the existing priorities in terms of the national sport and the creation plan at this moment in time. Because obviously, 2 years later on, after the implementation of the school sport program, there are emerging priorities, there are lessons that we have drawn, and we want to update each other in that respect. The biggest issue that sometimes come out as an embarrassment to us is the issue of turnaround times. I'm sure that honorable members will have remembered that we suffered a bit of bad publicity at the beginning of the year out of the sport awards. Some of the people that were recipients think that they even receive the same set. It's a reality that we live with, and we understand pretty much the predicament that the National Lottery finds itself in. And we are happy that this issue of turnaround times has enjoyed this much attention, and it is being addressed through the intervention that I think, amongst others, is also considering bringing the TA full-time on board. Because this has given us a whole lot of sleepless nights, the turnaround times. But over and above that, I think other issues, we would probably thresh them out in the platform that Rob said he will extend to us to engage each other further with the distributing agency. And then I think we thank you, Chairperson, and we really appreciate the platform at the moment extended to us. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Lee, you are fine now. let us invite the professor and the students to comment on some of the
learning experience and guidance to hear from the members, having some of the frustration. But on the point that you have mentioned, it is true. I think it goes back to my earlier point. South Africa has this. The matter is how do we manage them. That could the chairperson of the sports and education committee and the district agency will also try to advise us, because honestly you can't afford giving an organization 50 million and 25 is on the trash. And I think those are also supposed to say the education will also limit the number of people to go to whatever if it is overseas trip. I think not any money, because this is not government. It is money that somebody walks to the machine with Fernando, hoping that one day I may win. So I think Jefferson, it is also my concern. But however, sometimes we have a very big concern, a genuine concern, and you don't share it with people or people when they hear you, they think you are mad. The project that we fund, definitely they must exist. It has become an alarming fact that Lord has discovered that some of the projects, not only in sports, not only in charity or art, but across the spectrum, that some people have got the art of, as you said, of sitting down and put the idea in paper, but on the ground there's no project. And I think Mr. Ntuli spoke about the, you know, trying to check before whether there's a project, and also before we pay, we must do some introspection whether there is a project. Last month I was so worried when I got a call that the school got from sports and recreation got 100,000 and the consultant wrote them 50,000. That applies to the billboard. There is a board which says this ground is sponsored by NLDTF. Well, it is part of branding. But that person has already requested 50,000 at the foreground of 50,000 maybe, so the grant cannot be given because the money is gone. And last year, I'm sure you saw in the newspaper where there's a billboard, and the grant was not built. The first part of the particular school, together with the consultant, took the land and they went away. We don't know where they are.
Oh, wow.
And the CEO and the grant party, they are reporting all these things. And sometimes, you know that when you report something to the ops, it may take 5 years, it may take 10 years. So as long as you leave your duty. But of course, DPI is also emphasizing that the culprits must be brought from immediately so that it becomes a lesson. This is not my money. This is the public's money. We are hard on the existence of the project to make sure that the project are there, and that it is not just a project that somebody sitting in a bus thinking of defrauding the local government is letting help in the application. And it's a very text on our public. Sometimes they come free. Somebody comes to their home and tell the public that I'm employed by Zoto. So you fill in here, you get the money. But you don't look at the application form. The contact person will be himself. Once you sign the form, the contact person will be himself. And what Zoto will do, when you guys have approved, Zoto will phone the contact person. And the contact person will say, no, this is the banking details, it's a counter check, and of course we need to increase our monitoring, because that is where our people are taken. They are riding on them. The last event that I intervened was one lady who explained the concept. It was a partnership. And they agreed. When she signed the form, the person decided to apply another partnership on the very form that she signed. When she came to our office, she said, no, I signed one. She said, no, hey, you have got a four project. She said, I don't know them. I don't know them. Now, and I think it's something that the public must be educated, because it is robbing the council a lot of money. Money that are going for good causes are now going for individual causes. The billboards, we have never made any billboards, but if you saw it, it was contacted by the applicant. Maybe it is there without a project. When people apply, it becomes very nice and very sweet. But when the money gets into their account, then they start to fight. So that's why I think guidance from the department is that we also try to check even directly. Are they paying tax? Are they recognized? Remember when you are a director and you have been arrested or committed fraud in the other company, you must be rehabilitated. So we are going to check that, because people saw that we are very much high. We were working like an NGO, whereas we are not an NGO. We report to Parliament, we account to Parliament from the funds that we distribute. So when they apply, when people apply, it becomes sweet, they talk, they have good language, But Honorable Elder will allude to that where she comes from, they are fighting for the project that they applied with the University of Ghana. They are now fighting. They are now fighting. It was very good for them. A very good project with a very good education. But because maybe the person who was in the forefront is not getting what he or what she wants, they are now fighting. So it's something that we are trying to check. School sports, yes, we have, I think we have funded this with a large amount of money. We have funded it with a large amount. I think Muna will allude to it. I think last year in December, we might have allocated 15 million. They are still going on, so we are handing them. Because we believe that maybe at the lower level, that's where you can identify talent and nurture them. How the sports information agency wants to do it, I don't know, but we are finding them. The follow-ups, yes, we do follow-ups. Although Zora indicated that most of the things we implemented during this year that is in the course. But in the past, they will only look at the progress reports. Upon when they find that there are some things which are not good, then they will follow them. But now, as she indicated, we may follow up whether it's no red light or whether the lights are green. We follow up and check whether they are implementing the project correctly.
So that's any time you come to the sports this board. Because some people are very interested to know what is happening there. We were approached by the department to help them with the schools, which amounted to 200 million rand. Then we decided that we can't make that money available to one group. So we decided to spread over a period of 4 years, 15 a year. But since the department can't apply at the department, we asked them to get a conduit to apply on their behalf, which they did, which is the sports trust. Initially, some of us had problems with the composition of the sports trust. Because I think some of the club, when I was in the house, I did serve there. And the first impression I got when I walked in there was that the trust was too much. And it only looked after the interest of white athletes. And some of our serious problems with that. So when the department approached us with the sports trust as an agreement, we raised that issue. Fortunately, Chagatin has been affected. There's been a dramatic change in the composition of the club. Yesterday I had a chat with the chairperson of the sports trust at Grammy Grounds, and they were saying to me that in 6 months' time that place will change dramatically. But one requirement we raised with the sports trust is the issue of report. Because it is one of the rules of the lotto that before you get funded, you got to report the previous one. We had some problems around that, but we have taken a decision as a committee that, and you highlighted two big beneficiaries, that is the sports trust and SASCO, that the rule of providing the report are going to the president. No report, no funding. And the same discussion at high level. And we said we are going to refuse. Like for instance, Glasgow now is preparing things to go to Glasgow in June for the Commonwealth Games. And we said there's no sense that's going to leave that office without taking a necessary certification.
Fortunately, the chair person in the office, people like chair to be in the CEO are very strict when it comes to, you know, people to comply. But the argument is, if we demand report from the school, we should give 100,000 rand and 1 million to that school that gets billions, then we're not paying the thing. So we've decided where we raise it. You have a lot of this organization and you put it here. Now, for instance, Department of Sport people are here. We've given them a 3 month period that if you don't get out any reports, then there's no one that's going to be in the office. The same applies to SASCO. And we're quite surprised how quickly SASCO suddenly came up with reports. Okay, we have those other stuff. So I'm trying to say that that's it. We're not allowing federations to spend money like Wagon Sailor. It's not say, you know, reporting to the law. We're very, very careful about that. The network. Network came, and this question department from life came to us with a concept of paying the matter of. Right? So that, you know, to
start. Yeah.
Yes. Now, one of the lottery rules is that we don't pay for professional people. We're looking at the development and transformation. So on that basis, we can decline to pay for that. The boxing, professional boxing, has got problems. But in discussion with the president, chairperson, that is Gabriel Abel, he said we can look into helping the people in terms of government training them. But not make money available for professional people. We're having a problem with the Sanabo, that is the South African boxing amateur. Mm-hmm. And also they are an amateur sport. The president approached me 2 weeks ago to say that Mula were running the first problem and so on. I'm sorry, he didn't know that I was aware that they were funded. And they never reported. So I reminded him about that. So please, let's have the report first before we call. And the response I got is a normal response you get from people who mismanage a lot of funds. They said, no, we've got a new committee, and then I'm asked, okay, we've got a new committee. The old people, they ran away with the fight when they left the office. No, but it was handled by a certain Mr. Bill who passed away last week. But then I said, no, Mr. Bill has passed away because the funds are left at home. So we have such issues where people are also refused to us, even if we want to help them. Like for instance, amateur boxing, they've been trying. There's some very, very good boxers that are, you know, coming out. We want to help them to prepare for Olympics, but they don't want to help us. They're lying to us instead. So those are the kind of issues that kind of detect us, which, and I'm happy, that is always very good for us, you know. Well, once we do it, and therefore that keeps us on our toes all the time. Yeah, I thought that's what made us point.
That's very good.
Chair, I wanted to respond to Mchindi's comments a moment. In particular, Honorable Willie, you still make your point around the percentage allocated to sports, the 22%. As I indicated, there is opportunity to now look. When we review the regulations, we will then look also the percentages. But the Act does require us to look at certain sectors, provincial spread, and all of that. But also, just in terms of the categories, the percentages will also be informed by where we want to make the impact. So I think that gives us an opportunity to do that. You know, it said that also the other sectors are feeling that the certain other sectors should not get that much that they're getting. For instance, charity sectors, NGOs feel that actually this money should be for NGOs, but the other sectors should be getting money from the fiscal anyway. But we try to balance all of those interests. But I think it will be an opportunity for us because we'll be informed also by the 10 years that the OJ has been in existence, the impact, and then also in terms of the priorities in terms of the Department of Sports plan to say how much we think would be necessary to deal with that. Also just in regards to
as I talked about the complex interests that we are trying to balance, it is very difficult. Chair has said that people will make calls, they will chase you on a project that they have applied for, and there is an issue that the chairperson spoke to around the poverty allegations, like, you know, moving people from there at least to death level. And increasingly, when people look at our alert report from the lottery side, they look at the projects that have been funded. You find conferences, festivals, and a whole lot of money spent on those things. And people are saying, is that what is the priority? And believe me, the people that are actually doing those projects on the ground that benefit people from a poverty perspective, don't call us and, you know, how they don't have our numbers. And the ones that are doing the flashy ones, the fancy ones, are the ones that actually will be putting themselves meeting today and then tomorrow calling you for progress on the application. So also those things are very, I think they make the work of the organization very, very difficult because the interests are so diverse. And so we don't know what exactly we should say is not a priority and we should decline, you know, because what is important to somebody else is not necessarily the case for somebody. The other thing that I also wanted to allude to is that the one that is going to address, Honorable Sindani, some of the issues on the turnaround time, but also the challenges in terms of the rejection rate and all of that, is also the categorization of the grant. Because currently you have a call, but you've got the same requirement for a person that is asking for 50 million as the person that asked for 500,000. So that also just makes the process more complicated. So what you're doing is to categorize them into three. There will be the call grant, where for instance it will be easier to just make an application and then you give us the basic needs and then we can then, you know, the turnaround time will be much quicker. And then also our monitoring, we want to make it also to be risk-based as well, so that we can put more of our resources, because we don't have available resources to monitor everywhere in the country and all of the projects, but we want to make sure that the projects that are higher in terms of value, we're able to verify, treat, and also we ask that to see if the projects are actually happening, because we want to get the impact. But we also, like the partnership that we have with the various structures, is to also help them, you know, to get them to assist us to monitor those projects, because we can't be everywhere. But we are improving on that. And like I said, it's something that was not there. The last point I wanted to make is the issue around the use of convicts. We are trying to minimize that. Not because we think that it's not necessary. It might be necessary to use somebody else to apply. But that was caused largely by the requirements that are complex and all of that. So we want to do away with that, because that has actually exposed us to a bigger risk. That's why you have the fraudulent activities just in between there. But also the fights that Chair is talking about, they happen in those partnerships largely. So we want to be able to make sure that people are able to access funds directly without using somebody else to apply. And we do that by reducing the requirement, but to also make sure that the process is much more friendly to people so that it's not complicated and all of that. But I think it will be very useful. And it also will deal with some of the issues around the federation that we're talking about. Ordinarily, we do have our own sentiments that they should be self-sufficient, actually, and we should not. But I think those are some of the issues that will be minimized for the implementation of the Act. Those that need money for projects should, but cannot fund the structure of the federation, because then a whole lot of money goes into their operational costs. And can't run operational costs. I think it's unfair to the projects that are all around that developmental in nature, because the money doesn't get there. It gets there in different pieces.
Okay, well, I think it was very useful meeting. I think we have posed many questions for the team process. We'll work it out in 10 years down the line, I think. 10 years, 2 billion by every year. I don't know. Yeah, times 2, 3 billion pounds. Of course, we'll end up with you guys' education, election polls, and check the presentation, and we'll just give you a seat for it. It's always unseat. Majority. Always majority give all these small presentations to all of you at once. I think the point that
we must really look at it here, as you are saying. So for the small people, sort of always complain because of the initial idea of infrastructure and transport. And something that we have shifted on is because of many issues in the country generally, and also because the foreign donors stopped funding the NGO in our country, many of them collapsed. As a result of that, there was a stimulus that the Mazdopian system, but the intention was not for NGO or charity, it was essentially to end the whole life for the NGO in our country, because on the care of the nation. That's prior to 1994. I'm not sure if we call it today, but we always call it democratic principle. We realize in general that in many other areas, the whole question of facilities are developing enormous costs, but not necessarily. But 15 years as a land professor with a man enough, you can still see the difference. And those of us who are now beneficiaries of the revolution, I hope all of us here will benefit, and even the leaders benefited from the democratic principles. That's why I want to retire now.
No.
Not a poor man, but he's going to retire. That's not because of the if there was no Democrat, I'm not going to retire. He's retiring now with a Democrat. But the point that I'm raising is that all of us have benefited from this. Almost all of us here have benefited from this democratic system. But when you look at the allocation between those who have previously received that funding outside us, the gap is still very huge. We have several countries where there's no need for the data. But also, Jeff, the question of maintenance of these facilities. But also, Paul, I'm very clear that the way we visit in all the provinces, sometimes it's almost hard to distinguish whether this one is a loss of funding or a complete trust fund. It seems anyone that will go with belongs to him or her, but it is just that you build your business also 27, I think the trust also 27. I guess we mean one and the same structure. Because I don't know about that, I don't think that any that belongs to the document. I think a lot of them work this speaking. The class of this long class, right? And then there's a bigger problem that's called the incoming team has really good. You may be excited over something that is called the position. And then when you don't know exactly, you lose this information. The class of the day, it seems also not the same in that. I know that there's one in Sina for the Sina, because I happened to be coming from that area when I was a young boy. They think that my 50 years in Alexander has in town. I'm always from Sina, but I'm not sure for whatever. I thought that we share it as much. So I think I'm tired of being in Sina for whatever. The performance I'm raising is quite a lot of cost, delivered in Alexander, but therefore that I want to raise. Is that proper? We should just engage him in out of the meetings, you know. And then how do we work in a manner that advances the implementation of the national sport plan? And then just to ensure that everyone who applies on behalf of sporting facility, not about the sport, the national sport plan. And the fact must say that, you know, in terms of this national sport plan, I'm taking the aspect of it. I want to train coaches in Alexander, or I want to train trainers, or I want to train, but it's something that will assist that. So I have to believe this is specific, but to make it better input if we do that. Because they're developing kind of cause, there are a lot of things to be in general. And then we can also close down the NGO center. They're also playing a very critical role in the society that I was. In fact, many of them are dealing with HIV and AIDS issue. We'll be very happy of us to think that we can deal with this issue out of only without the NGO sector.
therefore this community needs rulers there. But how do you make a man impact with whatever they're doing in the state Asia? And then I think we must really have a discussion on that. Irregardless of whether they leave at there or not. We know that we'll be there because we'll be working somewhere and be doing the very same thing that we'll be doing there. Also, we always be connecting to from taking it for. God will become your proxy. We should do that, and then our meeting brother with our colleagues in other communities will continue because we meet in some classes in that system of the digital community. And I do think that we have now, but it's also engaged the people of our meeting, I think it's very good meeting. I know that it's very expensive to move from Swahili to Paris to Cape Town. But Cape Town also is a very beautiful place to relax when you're in the Department of Trade and Industry. So they must be doing manufacturing sector, not what they're doing there. They must be doing those things there. But I think, Professor, thank you for receiving the CEO himself and the scholars. And I hope that's now, yeah, there, for the materials from forward. We have great deal for it. Always to ensure that I'm an administrator of the sport. I really train an administrator of the sport. Because it's one thing for many of us who work in country who aren't great men, except from young boys and running stuff, which is still happening. But in this day and age, you want to professionalize it. Because you want sport at the end of the day to be a full-time career of many people for us to take more job for us. And that's what we want to do, you know. And sports say is right for the individuals. They empower the administrators, coaches, and then trainers and athletes, and but also have professionals. If properly have done that with young guys and boys from the northern part of the country who went to Ireland they won't so well. It's very clear that if we focus our attention correctly, we can do more. We can do more. It's just the hand is really big at all. I know the problem is for our other part of it. Of being a national leader, but with a local conscience. More than a life, and what is it like? Don't say it's nothing bigger than it. There's another bigger problem, because therefore you don't balance the national interest processes. That the allocation of whatever we do should be ensured that that doesn't cause problems among provinces. Why this one is more funded, why this one is not, because all these problems, people are sensitive about this thing. Therefore, a national consciousness will ensure that any part of our country is well covered, to me, is the best part. And thank you very much, colleagues, and you. She's there, no one looking at her, and she's better than us. Mr. Lee, I know that we'll never meet with them again. No. Professor is going to be the same for some hours.